noise. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to have all of you here. We pray God's blessings for our Lenten journey to the cross and empty tomb. A couple of words on our worship service for this evening. Our opening hymn, number 431, Not All the Blood of Beasts. That'll tell us a little bit where we're headed with our worship service for this evening. The Passover, the great Old Testament sacrament, the never-ending feast prescribed by God, the sacrament. Tonight, we see Jesus and the Passover with us and for us. We pray that God would richly bless our time together. Following that hymn, we'll follow the order of Vespers. That's on page 229 and following. We'll have two readings for this evening. There on the back are Isaiah 52 and 53, the Suffering Servant song from Isaiah. That will be the same each of our four special Wednesday services. The gospel reading, Mark 14, 1 to 25, that'll be the first of a four-part passion reading from Mark. And for your private or personal devotions, I would encourage Mark 14 and 15 during this season of Lent. The psalm for this evening and for each of our Wednesdays will be Psalm 51, and we'll read that psalm responsively. We'll make sure that we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the gift of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Bless our preparations during this season of Lent. Bless our preparation as we hear your word and receive your holy gifts. May these preparations be a blessing as we live our life in repentant faith. Faith which clings to the cross and empty tomb. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen for us and for the life of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 431.
Follow the order of Vespers, page 229, in your hymnal, page 229. Please stand.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation.
We speak together the psalm found on the inside of our bulletin, Psalm 51, verses 1 through 19. We speak them together.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
You may be seated for our office hymn, hymn 438, hymn 438, A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth.
Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 52. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading is from St. Mark chapter 14. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people." And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, "Why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. There, prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank all of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord my God.
Rescue me from
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this evening, the first of our four-part gospel passion narrative, Mark chapter 14, verses 1 to 25. Jesus and the Passover. Jesus and the Passover. You remember the Passover, don't you? You know, the whole blood on the doorpost thing, right? What does that have to do with us right here and right now? What does it have to do with the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus? Sometimes we fail to make the connections. We fail to see how God's word is fulfilled. Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." Exodus 12. Well, you shall keep it as a feast, a statute forever. Have you ever celebrated a Passover like the one that you have just heard in Exodus chapter 12? Take the lamb out and slaughter it with all of your other brothers and sisters in faith. Cook the lamb and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. I haven't. More than likely, you haven't. So are we breaking God's word? God's word that says this is to be celebrated forever? We turn to Mark 14. People are doing what the Lord has commanded. They are preparing for the Passover. It's interesting how the different individuals and the different groups prepare. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, Mark 14, verse 1. Well, we know that before the Passover, you're supposed to get the lamb, you're supposed to make preparations, you're supposed to do all these things. People are preparing, right? Well, they're preparing, all right. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him, Jesus, by stealth and kill him. Can you imagine that? People who claim to be children of God, leaders in the church, using the church as a cover-up to sin. That would never happen today, right? Rather than preparing for the Passover, they are preparing, they are plotting, they are scheming to murder Jesus. For they said, not during the feast. Oh, maybe a tiny bit of piety? No. Lest there be an uproar from the people. The only thing that was cooling their jets on plotting and scheming against Jesus was fear of what the people might think. Fear that there might be a riot. The fear of the Lord with regard to their sinful plotting never entered their minds, never entered their hearts. Our text continues with more preparations. We're a few days before the celebration of the Passover, and there is a family gathering. Jesus and his disciples are there. And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly perfume, kept in a bottle, worth a year's wages, kept in a bottle that couldn't be opened and reclosed like perfume bottles today where you use just a little bit, you know, behind your ears. No, this was a one-time only thing. The only way to use the perfume was to break the top off of the flask. The perfume, beautiful smelling, evaporated quickly. It needed to be used and used right away. Why would this woman, as a part of her Passover preparation, break and use this expensive bottle of perfume? There were some that said to themselves indignantly, why was this ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scolded her. Some people prepared for the Passover by worrying about the actions of other people, not looking at their own hearts, not looking at their own sin, but being more concerned about what other people do. Could never happen today, right? Our text goes on. Jesus said, leave her alone. Notice here, folks, notice. This woman does not stand up for herself. This woman does not demand her rights. This woman does not demand her day in court. She takes it. She bites her lip and she suffers the indignation of other people scolding her. But Jesus defends her. Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. How did she prepare for the Passover? In faith. In faith, because she believed what Jesus had said. Time after time after time, Jesus predicted what would happen when he arrived at Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of sinners. He will be beaten. He will be mocked. He will be crucified. He will be put to death. And 3 days later, he will rise again. Can you imagine this woman actually believed the Word of God? She believed the Word of God full well knowing this may be the very last time she would ever see Jesus. She gives her best. She anoints Jesus' body for burial. Why? Because her Passover preparation had the right object. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Our text goes on and on and on with how people are preparing for the Passover. Then Judas Iscariot, who is one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray Jesus to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. Betraying a friend. Betraying a leader. Betraying your pastor, your rabbi. Betraying your spouse, your parents, your children, your best friend. How easy it is to point at Judas. And how hard it is to think of our acts of betrayal in thought, word, and deed. Jesus tells his disciples, two of them, Peter and John, to go into the city, make preparations, look for a man carrying a water jug. I always thought that was kind of crazy. Why is that in the scriptures? Well, who carried the water jugs? The women did. You see a man doing this, it would stick out like a sore thumb. He's the one. Go, make ready. Peter and John, securing the lamb, slaughtering it, preparing it just so that at just the right time, Jesus and his disciples would follow the word of God, their preparations complete, they would celebrate the Passover. Jesus demonstrates his great love for Judas, his great love for all of the disciples gathered there that night, his great love for you and me. Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one of you who is eating with me." Why do you think Jesus said that? To show that he knew a secret that they didn't know? Well, of course not. Jesus is giving Judas one last opportunity to repent, to come clean, to end this nonsense of betrayal. Jesus' great love for sinners, speaking the truth in love, calling sinners to repent. God's call to repentance goes out not only during the 40 days of Lent, but God's call to repentance goes forth each and every day. God demonstrating his love for you and me and the entire world. God who does not desire that one single person spend eternity in hell. God who wants all people to believe the good news of Jesus and have everlasting life in his name. God will not give up as this call, this word, this proclamation goes forth. Jesus, at the end of the meal, not quite the end, but right before the closing hymn, all of the different courses have been served. The various cups of wine mixed with water have been drunk. Jesus does something that literally shocks the world. He takes some of the unleavened bread. He blesses and breaks it. He gives it to the disciples, and he says, "This is my body given for you." He takes the cup, the wine, he gives it to the disciples and says, "This is my blood, the blood of the covenant shed for you." My friends, Jesus fulfills the Passover. The slaughtered lamb, the blood on the doorposts, the unleavened bread, the wine, the hymn singing, Jesus fills it in his person and in his work. Every lamb or goat that was slaughtered for the Passover, every drop of blood that was put on the doorposts of the houses, every crumb of unleavened bread, every bit of it pointed forward to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God who takes away your sin. Jesus fulfills the Passover. Jesus is the Passover Lamb. His body, his blood. Not to be repeated year after year as a memorial feast, but as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Forgiveness, life, and salvation is put into your mouth. It is pumping through your veins. As the Passover is fulfilled, every time we hear his word and eat his holy and precious meal. Jesus knew what lay ahead for him. He was not tricked. He was not duped. Jesus willingly became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Verse 21, "For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him." Jesus knows why he is there, and his face is resolutely set toward an old rugged cross where he will bleed and die for the life of the world. My friends, we gather here this evening, part of our Lenten preparation, our extra Lenten preparation, these Wednesday evening services. How are you preparing to celebrate the Passover, the Paschal feast, Easter? How are you preparing? Come to church on Wednesdays and you don't normally come on Wednesdays? That's a good start. Having extra fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ between services, that's always a fun time and a good thing to do. How are you preparing to celebrate the Passover? Are you returning to your baptism each and every day, drowning and dying there with your sin and your passion and your greed and your evil lust, to rise forth a new creation in Jesus Christ? Or are you plotting and scheming some evil, dastardly deed? Are you worried about other people's behavior so you don't have to take a good look in the mirror at your own sin? Your own sin of thought, word, and deed. Are you so worried about the externals of the season that you forget that the Passover is Jesus, that Jesus is God's Passover Lamb for you? My friends, these 40 days are an opportunity for us to repent and come clean. to confess our sin, and to cling to the forgiveness offered in and through the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sin of the world. Lent is not just a preparation for Easter. Lent is a preparation for life, the life of a baptized child of God, where we learn to crucify our passions and our desires and to live in faith toward God and in love toward one another. May God bless our Passover preparation. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Our service continues with the Canticle, page 231. Please stand as you're able. Let my prayers rise before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. My soul magnifies the Lord,
and my spirit rejoices in
God. Seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news that the Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, has been slaughtered for you and for your salvation. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
During our Lenten midweek services, our worship will continue and conclude with the litany, which is found on page 288 in your hymnal, page 288. Please stand. In addition to those prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we also pray for Harlan Chamberlain, who is undergoing heart surgery. As we speak, we also pray for Jim Carr, who has heart surgery tomorrow morning. We pray together the litany, page 288. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, good Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, good Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, good Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment.
Help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you.
To hear us, O Lord.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy upon us all.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God.
We implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ.
Hear us.
O Lord.
Have mercy.
O Christ.
Have mercy.
O Lord.
Have mercy.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
You may be remain standing for our closing hymn, hymn 434, Lamb of God, Pure and Holy.
Please be seated. Welcome again in the name of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If you didn't get the Good Shepherd news and notes from last Sunday, they're on the shelf in the back. Also, we have Lenten devotions that started last Wednesday. They go all the way through Easter Saturday. Please help yourself to those. You're all invited to a fellowship meal now in the fellowship hall. I believe it's the LWML ladies that are serving. I don't know what they're serving. I'm sure it'll be good. and to assuage any Lutheran guilt, let's just join together in the common table prayer, shall we? Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let thy gifts to us be blessed. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. We have midweek and choir that'll start at 5:30. Second service, be same as this one, with the addition of a couple of confirmation essays, will be at 6:30. That'll be live on our radio station, so if you know of somebody who's not able to get out during this Lenten season, help us share the good news. Jonah Bible study after church tonight. We have Lifelight tomorrow at 1 o'clock, James and Jude.
And I believe the choir practice starts at 5:15, just a little bit earlier than 5:30. So.
Okay, yep. Well, hopefully they're eating now.
That's right.
Okay, all right. Anything else, Pastor? Come and get it. Have a great day and week in your Passover preparations.